The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
One of my favorite verses is John 14:6. And I forgot to turn on my mic. I get so excited. I got the other mic I got to turn on. There we go, sister. God bless you for reminding me. I get so excited wanting to preach the word and be encouraging to each of you that you may be encouraged because it is true. You had to make a choice today. You just didn't do this flippantly. You had to make an honest, conscious decision that said, I'm gonna get up out of my bed, I'm gonna get in the word, I'm gonna get dressed. You chose that for your life, and you had to choose that. And you know what? We have to choose that every day about getting in this word.
Amen.
Every day you gotta make an honest decision for life to get in the Word of God. And I'm glad that you're watching here. I'm glad that you're here today. I'm glad that those listening on the FM channel, I'm glad they're listening today. I pray that they'd be in the house of the Lord. But we have people that are outside the Warsaw area that cannot get here. But praise God, we have people that know how to use technology that we can reach. And God bless you. All you may be watching this morning.
Amen.
Amen. But you, amen, yeah, give God some praise for that because there's people, we want them to know that you're part of the family. You couldn't be here, but yet you're here with us and listening to the Word of God. And that's our extended family. Amen? And they made a choice to get online just to hear the Word of God. Praise God for that. Amen? It's good that we encourage one another as the day is approaching. Hello? Because if you don't encourage somebody, they will just drift and say, well, it doesn't matter if I go to church. It doesn't matter if I read the word. Yeah, it does matter. The way things are going now and the enemy is attacking. Amen. The enemy knows his time is short. He's attacking to see who he can pull away, who he can separate, who he can play mind games with. Hello? Come on. Come on, I'm gonna preach a little bit this morning because I've been in prayer and I know the enemy is messing with some people. And I for some odd reason, I need to sit down with Pastor, but for some odd reason I feel the condition of the sheep. Mm-mm. I realize when the sheep are stressed. And I can feel it for some odd reason. I can tell when they're lacking nourishment, when they're just not moving too good. I can tell when things are trying to separate them from the flock. There's an enemy that's. I might read your mail a little bit. That's okay. You just gotta understand that's how it works here. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you just don't go by. You see, there's no script here. I don't preach that way. There, you see, in my prayer time, I'm seeing that people are being discouraged and people are being put down and you're just doing that for a season. Uh-uh. I'm committed. Amen. I'm looking at some people that have made a decision for Jesus Christ. God bless you, and we are here to help protect. Because there's an enemy that's trying to pull you and steal you. What's his motive? To kill, steal, and destroy. And he would do nothing better. He would love nothing better to see if he can get you out of church. He would love nothing better to distract you from getting in this word. There's nothing he would love more to come against your character. Oh, I can feel that one. He would love to see if he can get you to convince you that you're not who you say you are. Oh, I feel that one. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You see, the Lord reveals things where the enemy is trying to mess with us and we need to stay connected. If he can get in our heads. You know, a lot of times we do face physical attacks. You watching, you may have a physical attack this morning and couldn't be here. But let me tell you, let me expose the devil this morning. Let me expose one of his tricks, and it's the same trick he's done every time. And that is, if he can get in your head, if he can mess with who you are and what you're called to do and what your purpose is to do, if he can mess with, oh, you've done so much wrong.
There you go.
Right? Oh, I've done so much wrong, I'm not even worthy to go to church. No, you need to be in church with the rest of us, with your brothers and sisters. Let's encourage one another. Let's be lifted up together. Let's renew each other and buoy. You see, God draws in and lifts up. The enemy tries to steal and tear down. You got to understand his motives. If you're going through attacks and you feel like in this week that you don't feel like praying, happen to anybody? That's attack. That's not from God. That's from the enemy who's trying to keep you out of the Word of God. If you're having self-doubts about who you are and your purpose and your calling, that's an attack of the enemy. I'm preaching already. That's okay. If you find yourself where there's things in your family trying to come against you and your wife, that's an attack. Hello? If you find yourself where you don't even feel like praising anymore. You know that, like when you get up in the morning and before your feet hit the floor and you're like, praise God, another day. But you don't feel like it? That's an attack. You got to understand the attacks of the enemy if you're going to win and be successful in this world we live in today. And you know what? I don't think people are teaching that. I think they're just teaching these inspirational messages that God is love and everything is good and it'll all be okay. And as soon as you give your heart to Jesus, that everything will work out. Wrong answer. It's not true. You will go through battles.
That's right. Come on.
There will be attacks.
Come on.
Because if the enemy, once you make a decision for Jesus Christ, the enemy will try to pull you back out of that and get you off track, will derail you and get you outside of that covering. And for weeks and months, if anybody that's heard me minister and preach, as I've been on a topic or on a series of messages saying, getting back to the Father's house. We've been talking many times about the prodigal son and how he wanted to do his own thing. We talked about how Peter and getting our eyes on Jesus, because we've all stumbled, we've all looked back. The problem is what I'm concerned about is some people are like Lot's wife. And they look back and it's like, oop. And the Lord goes, whew, you don't want to be that. We can stumble and the Lord can pick us up. But be very careful if you're interested in the things of your past more than the things of your future. Hello? If you're more interested in getting back to where you used to be, to where God's wanting to take you, you might find yourself in a spiritual condition that you may not like. We've been talking about with David in Psalms 51 many times this summer. Where he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You know, to have to renew that steadfast spirit, we must recognize that sometimes we're not always steadfast. Anybody been like that this year? Yeah. And you pray like David is, Lord, create in me that clean heart, that pure heart. What's the Bible say? Is that the pure in heart will see God? So it's important us to purge those things and recognize those things that are displeasing to God, isn't it? And David got it. You know, he was a man. He fell short, didn't he? Aren't you glad that everything that you did isn't written in here? We can read what David did, but we can also read what he did to renew and to get his relationship right with the Lord. And it's so important. You see, repentance is the key to producing godly fruit. Do I need to say that again? Too many people want to see fruit in their life and see blessings in their life, and the key to it is repentance, and half the world doesn't like to hear that. I might do some plowing a little bit today, but let me tell you, it's going to get good. Sometimes I've been known to plow a little bit. Sometimes I'm watering a little bit, and then I'm coming back with some fertilizer and some nutrients to help each one of us grow. But sometimes we got to get to the basics, and sometimes we got to plow the hard ground. Amen? You know, and I'm not talking about an 8N little two-bottom plow here. Amen? I'm talking about that big John Deere case, 4x4, 8 wheels, drop the disc down, the chisel plow, and let's hit it. Amen? I don't know about you, but in my life, I needed the chisel plow. I wish it was okay just for a disc. I wish I would have only needed a two-bottom plow, but the Lord had to use a big chisel plow on me because I had a hardened heart. Amen? I lived half my life not in church, not seeking God, not with a clean heart, only a deceived mind thinking that everything was right with me, only to find myself that I was wrong. Oh, ouch, right? Ouch. You know, the prodigal son where I'm like, ouch, now I don't want to go there. But sometimes we need God to put the chisel plow down a little bit sometimes and dig so that the nutrients can get in. Are you here? Sometimes when God's flowing and his presence is here and the water's flowing, the nutrients and the word's here, but it doesn't seem to get in. You know people that way? We've got computers and tablets and the Bible, and we can go to any store and get the Bible, but yet the Word of God seems to just not have any influence on people's hearts anymore. Now, it still does, but I don't doubt the Creator. I doubt the creation, the one that's hardened his heart to the Word of God. Because God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. Isn't that true? But how is it possible that I lived half my life not seeking God? I had a form of godliness. Right? Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. And I would do my own same thing every Sunday. I would do my own thing going to a party. Shame to say, I lived a good life as a sinner. But now I live a good life, restored by the Father, by Jesus, that I've been renewed anew. I can be free of that past just like you can. And those watching today, you can be free. You know, you're not too dirty. You've not done so much wrong that God can't heal you. The problem is as long as you have breath. Because when we no longer have breath, it's too late. Amen? You have the ability to change as long as there's breath coming from your lungs, so don't waste it. Amen? Amen? So I had to learn this the hard way of the school of the blacksmith shop and driving that chisel plow down to loosen up the ground in my life that the Word of God could get in. And all of us know people like this, don't we? Right? It's true, isn't it? You tell them the Word of God and it bounces off them like water off a duck's back. Right? Hardened heart. You try to love on people, and yet it doesn't go in anywhere. But then there's some that you pray for, and they do something kind for you, do something kind, and it touches their heart. And you know the Holy Spirit is involved there and been working on somebody that, you know, even if it's just somebody that gives you a cup of coffee or does something nice for you or finds you a deal on something, it touches your heart and changes you. It says, praise God, I needed that. I had just in the, and we're getting into more scriptures, hang with me. I had just this weekend. You know, many times when I prepare, half the time I'm trying to make sure I'm right with the Lord. You know, half the messages that I get, half the week is for me, and then the other half I'm supposed to share and deliver and be transparent and hope and pray that it helps you. And I got in the mail Saturday. I just checked my mail, and I don't really like checking the mail. All of a sudden, in the mail comes this card. And it's an appreciation card. And it was a simple card by some lovely folks that just wanted to encourage me in this Pastor Appreciation Month. And God bless you, Pastor, for what you do as well. And they sent me this card and put this little handwritten note. And you would not believe the impact of that little card had in my life Saturday. I want to ask you, when's the last time you have sent a letter to someone or a card? You know, we text and we send messages all the time. Hey, how are you? Thinking of you. But has anybody ever received a little thank you card before? Or just a little welcome card or glad you're here? Or, you know, I think we do different things where we send out stuff to people. Just thinking about you. And, you know, that card was amazing how it influenced my heart. In the old days, it probably been, it's just a card. Right? Like, oh, here's another, okay, don't need that. That's great. Glad you spent the 32 cents. Okay. You see, that was a hardened heart. But when I received that card, I read that and I sat there. I was in a hurry. I was doing stuff. And I thought, you know, somebody took the time to handwrite me a note. You know, that's kind of getting back to the basics, isn't it? And it touched me. You know, I didn't need to have a chisel plow at that point because I was looking for the Lord. I was seeking the Lord. And yet, here I didn't even know that God had put it on someone's heart to encourage me. Can I encourage you to that today? Write a letter to somebody. Write a note. I don't know why the Lord has me on this rabbit trail, but it so touched my heart. As, you know, we text and we call, but maybe call a friend. Call someone today you've been thinking about. Right now, the Lord just, I believe the Lord just put someone on your heart who you haven't talked to in a while. If you can't write to him, call him. Say, hey, how you doing? Amen? Does that touch you today? Someone that you may have missed or you may want to talk to or you watching the broadcast, call someone today and tell them how much they mean to you. Like, why are you saying this, Pastor? Because you don't know what brings tomorrow. Are you here? I'm teaching as I go here. You're going to have to pick up the pieces, but it'll be good. Just hang with me. Okay? I am plowing a little bit, but now I'm disking a little bit, and I'm adding some water because the Word of God says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And some of us are living in a dry season that just need to be encouraged with the Word of God that would flow from us to feel something different in our lives. Amen? And I hope that when you leave here today that you come to the river and you watching by the broadcast, that you would feel something different and feel encouraged and strengthened. I'm not shouting and dancing around here, but to touch your hearts that you would know that God is here and his presence is to help you and to heal you and to comfort you and to strengthen you in this week. Amen? I don't know about you, but I needed that this week. Amen? I found myself for 2 days this week just seeking the Lord going, I need you in this direction, Lord. I need you here. Can you help me in this area? Can you help me in this area? Right? So go with me as we create in us a clean heart, a pure heart. In other words, thinking about other people today. Someone you haven't talked to, hey, I was just thinking about you today. Lord put you on my heart today. I just want to say hi because I just want to talk to you. You never know. You never know when that last day may be. Are you here? Amen? You see, I don't take it for granted anymore. In my younger days, I took it for granted and was partying and playing and doing whatever I wanted to do, thinking I was going to live to be 100. Nothing could ever go wrong. I've gotten a little wiser since. Maybe I'm just getting older, maybe a little less hair. But I'm starting to realize that, hey, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So what you need to do, take care of today. Count your days. Make today count. Make today count. Don't take it for granted. A lot of people didn't wake up this morning. Many people went to bed last night thinking they were getting up this morning and didn't. Be grateful for that breath that God gave you. You see, I just gave you something to be thankful for. When you have a bad day, still be thankful on your lips. Enter his, right? What's Psalm 100? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. What are we speaking? In this world we're living in, I'm living in a very toxic, corrosive environment. That's why the Bible says be careful with the friends and the association you have. Bad company corrupts good morals. If you let those people get in, and it will be toxic to you. And in this day and age, we're going to have to put up a wall up. Love people, yes, but not allow them to have an influence on our lives. Can you get an amen out of that? Amen. So go with me in the Word of God as we begin to plow a little bit. I'm going to plow a little bit just to get things going, and then we're going to follow through with the Word of God. It says in Luke chapter 13, if you go there with me. We're going to get some foundation. I'm going to build upon this, and then we'll move on. So in Luke chapter 13, are you there? Say amen. And I'm reading right now, I'm reading out of the New King James Bible. I'll begin reading. It says, there were present at the season some who told him, now him is Jesus, capitalized, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Ouch. That's not a very good way to start off a service, is it? Well, that doesn't make me feel too good about things. Well, let's begin. Let's keep reading. He says, or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? And Jesus once again says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And it brings us to this talking point that says, listen, they're talking to Jesus, and he's not worried about them. He's not worried about the other people. He's bringing it back to us. And David, when we talk about creating me a pure heart, the focus is, how about us? I can worry all you want for my relatives and my friends, and I can talk to them, and I can try to plow and try to help and do the Facebook. But today my focus is, how about you? It's the self-evaluation that, are you all right with the Lord? Because unless we repent, there will not be any godly fruit growing from you. Repentance is the key. He says, I tell you, unless you repent, you're going to perish. Now, that doesn't build too many churches because everybody wants to have that warm and fuzzy cookie cutter, give me some nice sweet tarts and candy and make everything right. But the reality is that not everybody gets to heaven, and no one wants to hear that. The truth is that unless we repent, we've all fallen short. We've all done things we shouldn't have done. And unless we repent and turn, we will likewise perish. And Jesus clearly shows us that, hey, listen, because these other things are happening, I'm more worried about you. I'm more concerned about you. As a pastor, as a friend, as a minister, I don't want to get to heaven and somebody says, why didn't you tell me the truth? I thought you loved me. I thought you cared for the sheep. I thought you protected the sheep. I thought you wanted the best for us. I do. Unless you repent, you will perish. Oh, that's a hard teaching. But it's the most loving teaching I can tell you that Jesus said, and I agree with Jesus, that we've all fallen short, which means, God, it's not about them. It's not about them. It's not about them. I got to worry about me. I can't fix you. I can't tell you what to do. I can tell you the word. But have you self-evaluated to say, is everything all right with you and the Lord today? Because we don't know what tomorrow brings. If you're in sin today and you don't make it through the night, you won't make it according to the Word of God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, it says, they said to him, Lord, Lord, I did this, I did that, and we try to justify our works and things like that, and it doesn't work because he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Ouch. I don't want to be that guy. You see, I never realized that. When I heard this scripture, you know what? It crushed me. It messed me up so bad. I got on my knees before God. I'm like, God, forgive me. And some, it bounces off them like water, like it doesn't mean anything. Hardened heart. Or one that can absorb the Word of God and create change to be more in line with God and His Word. Gets deep, doesn't it? I just put the chisel plow right down in there deep at the heart going, can you receive the Word of God? Or did that just bounce off you and say, no, I'm good. Everything's good. You see, for me, when I heard that, it brought me to my knees before God and said, Lord, forgive me. I've lied. I've cheated. I've done things. I've done things according to your word. Your word says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not look at not commit adultery. And I broke the law of God. I broke the commandments. And I needed a Savior. And it crushed me to the point. It's like, listen, if I'm going to grow godly fruit, I need to repent. Because a tree either bears good fruit or bears bad fruit. What fruit do you have on your tree? Amen? I'm looking for fruit. I believe the Lord's looking for fruit. Amen? Look at the next verses. In verse 6, he, being Jesus, also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. I wonder how many years he came seeking fruit on this guy, only to find none. But praise God, he didn't give up on me. Praise God, because he could have put me down any time he wanted to. I was living a life not pleasing to the Lord, and yet he had mercy and grace on me. He gave me time and space. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down." Now, if you would go with me back to verse 8. And this is where I want to jump start today, if you will. He says, "Let it alone this year until I dig around it and fertilize it." Some of you, I'm going to reveal a truth of 2020 to you. This is a verse in a scripture that was given to me this spring that I've yet to preach about it, but I preached with it all year. And the motive was, and the call to God was, "Lord, use me to help make a difference so that others may grow fruit in their life. Give me the scriptures to say that I can make a difference in someone's life, because the Word of God is not having an influence on them, and I know it had an influence on me. Lord, let me dig around a little bit. Let me have some water that flows out of me to help nourish a little bit." How about you? How many of you know people that you're wanting to see come to Jesus Christ and it's not been working too well for you? It's been a struggle and a pain. And here we have the scriptures of this year. I have the same thing to where, "Lord, use me. Lord, let me dig around it a little bit. Let me fertilize it a little bit. Use me to make a difference however you can, before it's too late." You see, because there's a time and a date for every person, and you won't go past that date. There's a time that happens, and my prayer is that I can reach as many as I can before it's my time, and that you can reach as many people as you can before it's your time. Because if God did for me what I know He did for me, and you know that what God did for you, then it's time that we share that testimony of what God did in our lives to make a difference in this dark world. You are salt and light. In other words, you enhance and add flavor and light to a dark world. Let the devils come. Let the demons come. Let the tax come. I know who is in me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen? And the devil will try to come against you to attack that very thing to make you question who really is in you. And in this verse, I'm wanting to see fruit in your life. You know why? Because when you see fruit, the fruit contains the seed. Recently, we went down to a woods where we saw some pawpaws. How many of you know what pawpaws are? Indiana bananas, right? They're yummy goodness. Have you had some? You know, the cool thing is when they're ripe, you know what you do? You that are not from Indiana, what you do is you take them and you split them up and you get the little seeds out. And you take these vanilla wafers and you take them and it's like eating banana pudding. And you just take them and you just eat them and it's yummy goodness. You see, there's fruit that you and I get to enjoy. It's enjoyable when we grow together. Will there be growing pains? Yes. Even when they drop on us when we're trying to get them. But you see, when I ate the fruit, in that was seed. And when you start bearing fruit, that means there's going to be more trees. In every piece of fruit, you grow in what you are. Amen? So when you see the fruit, you know that there's going to be more growth because it contains the seed to grow more. And that's what I want to do in the lives of the Christians today and the people, believers or non-believers, that they would bear fruit, because as you bear fruit, you produce after your own kind. That's a nugget. That's a nugget right there. Because we produce If we're a believer, we're going to produce fruit. There's something about us that will shine into the lives of others that says, well, come to church then with me. If you're so unhappy and you're so frustrated, then come see a place. Come taste and see that the Lord is good. If things are bothering you so much and things are so distraught, and you know, you can always tell by Facebook because people, they don't have any self-control anymore. They're just blah, 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 right? They don't have any, they have no self-control whatsoever. The world, come to church. You want to be free? Come to church. I know the healer. I know the physician. I know the provider. I know the way maker. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. I preach that till I'm blue in the face, but people don't seem to get it. I got to plow now. I got to get them to understand the nutrients and the power of Jesus Christ in their life that they may be set free. How many of you want to see people set free? Yeah. Amen. I want to seek the Lord that I may bear fruit to grow in any environment that I'm in. In the dark times, in the tough times, in the dry times, but out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Amen. So let me dig a little deeper. Go with me into Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Are you getting anything yet? I'm moving quickly so I can get you home before the crock pot's done. Are you good? Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1 says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." Verse 2 says, "Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart." Now, depending on which version you're reading, basically what that means is it's better to go to a funeral than go to a party. Now, people don't like hearing that, but let me teach just for a moment. And be a little transparent, because I don't like funerals. I didn't like funerals. I like a celebration of life where I can enjoy the person that's had their life before God. But there's something about that mourning. There's something about that brings people closer. And the Bible here is true because it says it's better to go to a funeral than to a party. You know why? Because in a party, that no one cares. It's all about having a drink, having fun. There's nothing looking at eternity. But the moment you and I, how many of you, I'm sure almost all of you, have had to go to a funeral. But the moment you go, does it not change your life? It has a super effect on you that creates change of the heart condition. You can live for life and be partying and have and think you've conquered the world, go to a funeral and it'll set you right in place, making you understand the preciousness of life. Amen? It will get you to acknowledge where we eventually will be. When you go there, has anybody not asked yourself, where will I spend eternity? How about you today? Do you know where you'll spend eternity at? You realize it's not just done when you take your last breath. Hello? I'm trying to teach this as lovingly and sensitive as I can because all of us have been in these positions where it hits home with you. It wrecks our world going, there's a difference now. And it makes us think about our future, doesn't it? It makes us go, maybe I should reconcile with my family. Right? It makes us think about calling a friend. It makes us think about sending a note or letter because we know that our time and our days are numbered. That we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Right? In other words, we don't take it in a party. Everything's having a good time and it's all good. And we just take it for granted. How many know what I'm talking about? Oh, we don't have a care in the world. Hey, let's have a good time. We don't care. There's some people that partied last night that didn't wake up this morning. Right? It draws us in and affects our heart in a way. Is it sad? Yes. Is there mourning? Yes. But I don't know about you, and I've seen people that it affected them not one iota. I've seen them where they have no respect, no change, no nothing. God help them. How can you not feel the compassion of a, you know, that tells me there's a really hardened heart. If a person goes to a funeral and there is no compassion whatsoever and no respect, they really need the Lord. Because for me, it really gets into me and goes, it makes me think about where I'll spend eternity. And here at the River, we've been talking about this for the last year or two. It's about identifying your purpose and where will you spend eternity. Is everything all right with you and the Lord? Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. It's a tough teaching, and it really sets home, but it makes you think and go, you know what? I'm going to appreciate today. Instead of being downcast and all, you know what? I'm going to change my thing and go, I'm grateful for today. Amen? Because you can look at the negatives all day around. They're around you every day, aren't they? Where's our focus? You see, we've been talking about getting our focus on Jesus, getting our focus on eternity, getting our focus on the good things of life. Amen? So in Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." A heart of wisdom. In other words, not taking today for granted anymore. I want you to enjoy today. I want to see you happy and having a good day. Will there be days that aren't? Yeah. But like I started, there was a person that thought enough of me Saturday that blessed me, encouraged me. How about you? Are you an encourager? Can I encourage you to be an encourager today? Make today count. Whatever your purpose is, what are you called today? Do you know what you're called to do? Some of you have told me what you know in your heart what God has placed you in your life, and you are pleasing to do the work and to know that whatever you face, that you are called to do X. How about the rest of you? How many of you know exactly what God wants you to do in your life? I got a couple. I got a couple. You see, it's time to seek the Lord. Because I see a smile on a lady's face right there. You see the change? When you know that you're called to do something and you have all the attacks of the enemy and you face all the struggles and all the pain, you'll look at life differently going, this struggle I'm in is for God. Ah, now that changes things. Because I don't know about you, but I'll complain. I'll whine. That doesn't happen to anybody. I know. Is it, those of you here new, are you just going to leave me up here all by myself today? And I'll just complain with the rest of you. That's okay. That's all right. We're going to be able to repent and turn here in a little bit. You come to the altars. It'll be okay. Amen? Because sometimes when we come against things, we're like, ah. Right? Like, really? Come on. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's your focus? The Lord's got this. I'm with the Lord. Amen? All right. So we're gonna move through, and I'm going to close so I can get you out of here on time, because there's so much more. You see, we plowed a little bit to get you thinking about eternity and get your focus on what's most important, family, friends, brothers and sisters, going to church, reading your word, praying, because there's so many other distractions that it will prevent you from what I just said. Right? We were talking this morning. There's a million distractions that can happen to keep us from all the things that I just talked about, where we don't think about eternity. We don't think about our purpose. We don't think what we're called. All we look at is the conditions and what the wind is blowing, as opposed to what God wants to do in our lives. Because you will come against things that prevent you in your calling. There will be distractions. And but we as a church body here at the River would encourage one another that you're important to God. Pastor said it on him many times. How much did Jesus love you? This much. He He didn't die for no reason. He died with a purpose, that we would be restored and redeemed with the Father. Amen? Will we go through stuff? Yeah. Will we go under attacks? Yeah. There's a lot of Christians facing a lot of persecution right now. We've got it so good and we still complain. A little quiet. Right? Don't worry about it. I'm preaching to myself. It's okay. It's okay. I'll take that one. You watch and I'll take that one. You see, this week I've had to self-evaluate. Does it show? Sometimes I'm more transparent than I like. Because you see, half the battle of getting up in this pulpit is making sure I'm in line with the Word of God. You see, I've got to worry about myself before I can worry about you. How can I share the love of Christ if I have my eyes on everything else? Hello? Your eyes up higher. Don't look at this man. Look at the one who's telling me to speak. Get your eyes on him. Get your eyes on this. Amen? The news will let you down. Family will let you down. Facebook will have you drifting one side or the other. Sorry to say. People texting you will have you spun out, misreading things because you don't understand the tone of the text. Hello? Come on. Right? I know I'm preaching. It's okay. It's truth, isn't it? Because it can spin you out. I'm just being real, you see. We're real people here at the River. We deal with real things here. I'm not going to put it on this facade that says we never go through anything and everything's always peachy. You know? Everything's always like that rack of ribs. It's just always yummy goodness. You know what I'm saying? Or that big thing, a pulled pork sandwich with a little sauce on top. And I found a new one. You got to have Claus and pickles. And I've been working on a new recipe. I put a little coleslaw on top of that bad boy. I'm telling you, life isn't always like that, is it? Sometimes it's like sour milk. Right? I know, I'm getting you hungry. And I will be having some barbecue after service today. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good stuff, isn't it? Amen. Amen. You see, we're growing in the Lord. We're growing in the Lord. You need to understand that you're family. This guy is not going to put you down, not going to judge you, but help you understand that we all go through things. And as we talk and as we're not afraid and we're not ashamed, listen, it starts right here. Lead by example. If I'm afraid to be transparent with you and hide things and, oh, it's always great, and you're going through something, then how can I relate to you? I go through stuff too. We all do. And that's the beauty of the River. And you watch and you may think he just fell and hit his head. But I'm talking to the wonderful people in front of me that you got to understand that when you go through things or you find yourself trying to be pulled away from the church, yellow flag, call me. Call me. Call pastor. Hey, I need to talk because I'm saved, I'm born again, but I'm going through this. What in the world is up with that? Right? You're like, I read the word, I'm a minister, I pray, but I just don't, something's off. I got this going on, this going on, yeah. You know what? Because the enemy's coming against our growth. The enemy knows that we're growing. The enemy knows that we're speaking the word of God and we're speaking truth and no one can deny it. We're not speaking out of our own deal. It's the word of God and the enemy don't like it. And we are bearing fruit. Amen. We are bearing fruit. We're seeing fruit. There may have been a time in my life where I didn't see fruit, but let me tell you, we're seeing fruit. You are fruit. You have been added to the body for a reason, and God has placed you here because he has a purpose for you and a part for you in here to do something great.
Yes, amen.
Hello? Amen. I'm so excited to wait to see what God is getting ready to do in each of your lives. It's just getting started. This thing's just starting to take off. We're seeing a new season here at the River. And I want to encourage you, you're watching, you might want to get in now, because now is the time. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Today is the day to get your healing. Today is the day to get in. Amen? Hallelujah. So let me close with this here. And we're doing real good on time. You guys okay? Amen. All right. So go with me into Philippians chapter 4. I'll give you a minute to get there. I'm still in the New King James. Philippians chapter 4. Amen. Glory be to God. God's good. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're getting into the Word of God. We're encouraged today in Philippians chapter 4. It says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. You see, the beginning of this, what I should have told you is I wanted you to meditate on some things today. Hello? Stand fast in the Lord, beloved. The tax will come. The mind games will hit. The family disruptions will hit. All the things in work will hit. But stand fast in the Lord. Know whom you have believed in. Hello? Amen? He says, I implore Euodia and implore Syntyche, I think, to be of the same mind in the Lord. I have this highlighted in mine. He's talking and encouraging us to say, listen, we're all going to be different. We're all going to look different. We're going to have different backgrounds. We're going to have different purpose, different calling. But be in the same mind in the Lord. Amen. That unity is important in the body of Christ. We can agree to disagree, but not on the Word of God. When it comes to the Word of God, we're going to have to get it worked out. Now, we can all be different. Thank God we all don't look the same. Amen? Wouldn't that be boring? We're all wearing the same clothes. We all look the same. I mean, you know, but you don't want to look like this. Now, God made me in His image, and I'll rest in that. I just wish He'd give me a little bit more hair as I grow older, but that's okay. Amen? Now, my younger days, I was good. I had a full head of hair, but, you know, I just got to look in the mirror and say, thank you, Lord, that they're still there. Right? Instead of looking at the negative, look at what's left. Right, brother? It's all good. Amen? Be of the same mind in the Lord. He's encouraging, but he's also teaching, saying, listen. He goes, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Listen, is your name written in the book? Amen? We may have some indifferences, but let it not be on the Word of God. Amen? Let it not become a salvation issue. Hello? Look what he says. He says, rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
So what happened this week? There you go. But as we get back in the Word of God, I'm reminded too. Right? As we hit bumps, let me teach you this. The moment that you don't feel like praising, that's the exact moment when you need to get praising.
Yeah.
Hello? Man, that's a word right there. I didn't know that, because it's like, oh, I'll just sit here on the couch. No, that's when I got to identify the attacks of the enemy going, you don't feel like praising today. Now you know. I've exposed him to where you can fight off the fiery darts, put on the helmet of salvation, and you know what he's trying. He doesn't have any new tricks. It's the same tricks. Okay? He says, again, I will say, rejoice. Verse 5 says, let your gentleness be known to all men. Hello? The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Oh, boy, do I have trouble with that. Man, I struggle sometimes with that. I want it on my time. I got an idea, and I'm thinking, man, Lord, if you could just, right now. You know, and it's like, I got to learn. It's like, Why? It's just, I prayed, I fasted. Come on. It's in his due time, his season. He knows more than I do. Maybe there's some things he's trying to protect me from. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In other words, an earnest prayer, not just your grocery list prayer. An humbling, a desire. It doesn't have to be a lot of words, but it needs to be from the heart. Right? What have I been talking about? Thanksgiving. Man, it's key, guys. I'm telling you. It's one of the biggest gold nuggets I could give you today. It's Thanksgiving. If the enemy can get you to no longer be thankful and get a complaint on your tongue and get you negative about things, that you forget that very breath each day, that you forget what he's brought you through, you forget what he's taken you to, you forget what is, right? Guard yourself. Guard your heart. He says, let your requests be made known to God. And look what it says. Here's the promise behind it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So if you're having attacks and you're having mind games being played with you, I just gave you a really big nugget to protect this noggin. Right? When that helmet of salvation is on and you're sure of your salvation and you made a confession of Jesus Christ and you know that you know that you know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hello? You got to remember that. No weapon. You know, it's too often times we look at physical weapons, but what about the mind game weapons that come against us weekly and daily to try to get us turned? The negativity in our workplace, the negativity in our home, the things that pull us down, that keep us from praise, and that keep us... No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon shall come against my house. No plague, no sickness shall come against my dwelling. Hello? It'll guard your hearts and your minds. And in my Bible, its title, it says, meditate on these things. It says, finally, brethren, I'm reading out of this on the New King James, and then we're going to turn it up, and then we're going to close for today. Because we've plowed and we've watered, and now we're giving nutrients to your life today that will help you, I believe, as you hear this word today, it's going to be exactly what you need this week to help you get through this week. That you will face things in your life that you need to take this word and remember it and meditate on this word when you come against the things this week to guard you and protect you. Are you here? It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Hello? Meditate on these things in your life. There will be negativity hit you, guaranteed, this week. But meditate on things that are good. Meditate on things that are true. Not on the nightly news. Meditate on this. Amen? 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 The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. How many of you need some peace in your life today? He says, if you'll meditate on these things, there's a promise here that says this, that not only will it guard your heart and guard your minds, but then that the God of peace will be with you. I need some peace in my life right now. I'm tired of the commotion. I'm tired of all the distractions, which means I might just have to separate myself from some things too. I might just have to get more in here and meditate on what's true. Amen? So let me turn it up just a notch and then we'll close. I can do this in just a few minutes. So in this same chapter, but I'm going to read from the Amplified. Okay? You with that? The Amplified Version in Philippians 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, delight and take pleasure in Him." That's a big golden nugget right there. When everything's coming against you, get your focus back and put your delight and take pleasure in the one that saved you and helped you and has brought you through this point in your life, that made a way when it didn't seem like there was a way. Amen. When you needed the Red Sea parted in your life and you were between a rock and a hard spot and the Lord showed up in your life, take pleasure in Him. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. Don't forget that He hasn't left you. I think too many times we go through this struggle in life and wondering, where's God at? He says He'll never leave you nor forsake you, so why do you keep asking where He's at? Because we have our eyes on other things instead of taking on Him. Because the storms of life have got us drifting this way and drifting this way, like Peter. If you haven't figured it out, I relate a lot to Peter. You can, Corey, Peter, Thompson. Yeah. Because I've stumbled many times and taken my eyes off Jesus. But as I get older and I get in the Word and I get maturing, I get my focus back on Him. It'll change your day. It'll change this week for you. Amen? Amen? He says, do not be anxious or worried about anything. Boy, do I deal with this one. You see, we struggle with similar things, but we have to figure out what do we do about it. Where does Pastor always lead us? Back to the Word. If you're struggling with something, go back to the Word. If you're dealing with something, go back to the Word. Find your balance. Find your compass. Find your point back on the Word of God, because it says, do not, it just showed us to get our eyes on Him. It says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything or every circumstance and situation, by prayer. Is your house a house of prayer? If not, it needs to be. Amen? By prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Meditate on these things, brethren. Amen? He says, continue to make your specific request known to God. Are you specific in your prayers to God? Are you humble and thankful and on point to say, Lord, I need help in this area? It makes a difference. If you want to see God move on your behalf. Amen? And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that kind of peace. Amen? Which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Have you received it? I struggled with it. It's available to you and I. Amen? I know this ain't no shouting, jumping all over the place kind of message, but it's to encourage us and give nutrients in our life that you grow in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Finally, believers, whatever is true, and here we're turning it up from what the Word of God says to meditate on, and I'm closing with this. It says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's Word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. In other words, center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. the world is full of negativity right now. Right? In the workplace can be full of negativity right now. But the Word of God shows us how we can bear fruit and is our filter if we will apply it. You see, this doesn't do any good if you let this word today bounce off you like water off a duck. Amen? If you would apply this word today, and if I would apply this word, got my own issues. If I would apply this word, if you would apply this word, look what it says. The things which you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things in daily life. And the God who is the source of peace and will be well-being will be with you. Can you receive that today? Because it says brethren. Believers. He's writing this to believers. In other words, we are going to go through things. He's telling us and showing us a more excellent way. And the question is, did this run off you like water off a duck? Or did this get in today and say, I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to get in here. I'm going to read the rest of this. I'm going to apply this. And when I face situations, I'm going to use this as my checkpoint. Because I'm going to tell you, I failed in these scriptures. And I have to go back into the Word of God, just like Pastor will teach us, and say, get in your Word. Get in your prayer time. And apply this Word, that then it becomes fruit in your life. Because too many times in my life, I want to just be like Peter and cut people's ears off. Think on good things. When the enemy tries to throw things in on you that you're not worthy, or try to create division in your own home, or division within the church, or different things, that you put an end to those fiery darts and you think about good things. And that you apply these things in your daily life. Amen? But listen, if you don't know the Lord, you're going to have a problem in applying these things. And the reality is that you and I can show Jesus as much as we can tell Jesus. And if we will be an example for Jesus or not, based on how we apply this word. Isn't that true? How many of you know Christians that need to read these scriptures? Because they have no filter. They have no self-control yet. But yet, as we think about these good things, when everything negative, I'm nobody, I'm this, I'm that, I'm not, that's not in line with the Word of God. Because God knows the plans He has for you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Right? To prosper you. He says, call on me and I'll show you great and mighty things. But it starts, brethren, believers, it starts with us, with that relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why we plowed early to say, listen, is your heart right with the Lord? Is there sin that you're dealing with? If there's problems you need to, listen, you've got to get right with the Lord and then apply this word and allow change in your life. Because until I repented and turned, I didn't see any good fruit. And I want you to bear good fruit. And when the Lord looks at you, I'm sure all of you want to bear good fruit. Amen? Because He's looking to see, as the scriptures showed earlier, He says, I've come seeking fruit. Trees, are you showing fruit in your life? You are, regardless. You're either going to be of the good tree or the not so good tree. And a good tree can't bear, and a bad tree can't bear. Amen. So when your day comes, you want to make sure that everything's right between you and the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, don't wait until that day. Make it right today. People say, well, God is love. He deals with my stuff. He deals with all this. He died on the cross for you and I. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. And we've got to remember that. The Bible says we've all fallen short. And I hear so many people, they say, well, I'm a good person. I've done this, I've done that, I've contributed this, and I've bought toys for tots, and I've done this. And the Bible clearly says that you don't get to heaven by your works. You get to heaven through repentance and turning and putting your trust in the Lord, making Him Lord of your life, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that He died on... Amen? Isn't that the gospel? So you and I must first examine our hearts. Today, when you go home today, examine your hearts. Like we started, Psalms 51, like David said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew me in a steadfast spirit. Renew me in the things of the word that I should know, and help me to apply them. When he's asking for that renewing, he's asking the Lord to help him move on so he may produce fruit, that he may enter into the kingdom of God, that he may know for sure. Amen? So if you know for sure, have you told anybody that you're born again? Do people know? I'm using this broadcast, I'm using this as we close. I've repented, I've turned, I put my trust in Jesus. Guess what? If tomorrow never comes for me, you know where I'm going. I'm leaving you a roadmap. I just hope it doesn't take my death for you to understand that. I hope that you will see that now, not go to my funeral and say, well, that was a man of God. I'd rather you know it now, and that we fellowship and we talk together now, instead of getting the aha moment at the funeral. Understand the love of God now, and that the river is a place for you and a place of family that you can be encouraged and strengthened, because we're all believers. We all want to see our lives bearing good fruit. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you here at the river. We want to see you here. We love to talk with you and be with you, that you would make your choice. And if you've made your choice today, and you today, each one of you said, you know what? I'm going to make sure I'm right with the Lord today. Then today's your day. Get a hold of us. These altars are open today for any one of you. We'll pray with you. And if you're watching and you need the Lord, get a hold of us. We'll be praying for you. And we'll be watching for you next time here at the river. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the river, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.